sets your pace. And I think, you know, it's end of the year, and it's as we prayed this morning as well, you know, that's what we prayed for, is at the end of the year, there's this part of you that wants to slow down, you know. Behalve as jy 'n boer is, then is oestyd. Dan sê you've got to go for it. But there's a part of you that wants to slow down, and then there's this urgency from the world and things around you that you can't slow down. You in a sense in this fight, in this tension between having to slow down, wanting to slow down, but you can't slow down, and there's this pressure, and that's actually for me the story of life. And I've got another prop here. I'll try to keep my sermon shorter, but I need two volunteers, strong men. If you guys can come and stand here. Herschel, maak net seker dat die kamera vir die mense langsaan kan sien. And you've got to grab a pipe, each one of you. Okay? And you have to stand probably here on the trappie. Staan daar so. En dan moet julle vir my die ding opwen. And this represents life. Okay? So I'll get back this. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Can you maybe just flex? So I just want to see if I need to get someone else. Can you hear this all right? Okay. So this represents life. Okay? And things in life works at you. Julle verstaan wat hier aangaan. Julle kan almal, you can see this. Okay? You have to wind it up as well. You have a role to play. Okay, I think that's okay. That's enough. Yeah, that's okay. Thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Okay, great. So you many times end up feeling like this, and this is the picture that I got this week as I was thinking, what should I talk about? Is that many of you feel like this. Miskien 'n bietjie erger nog. You really feel wound up. Jy voel regtig opgewen. And if we just leave this. Dis die staaldraad nie, is lekker dik, weet jy wat se draadpiese doen nie, maar anyway. If we just leave this, if I just put it here, it's not gonna unwind. It's gonna stay like this. And there's many of us at the end of the year, or maybe you even feel like this since the beginning of the year. And somewhere during this year, you probably hope, yes, something's going to happen, something's going to change to help me to unwind, to be able to relax. But the opposite happened. It's as if life just wound you up more and more and more and more. So if we can think about gentlemen that helped here, you have life that places pressure on you. And you have yourself that places pressure on you, and then you have the devil that places pressure on you as well. And there's this rushedness in us. There's this sense of urgency in us. Baie van ons, die meeste van ons kan by die haasie relate. You're sitting here, jy kyk na daai storie en jy sê, "Come on, praat net 'n bietjie vinniger." You can relate to that. You know, and probably that's the extreme. I wouldn't suggest that we take that pace of life, you know, the sloth pace of life. That's the extreme. But I want us to recognize that inside of us, that there is a rushedness in us, there's a hurriedness in us that is stealing from us. And I'll get to what it steals from us in just a moment. I just want to read us this scripture, and it's in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, and most of you have heard this, and I just want to talk a little bit about this. It's Jesus that, you know, the context is he's wrapping up his sermon on the mount, and he's coming to the end of his sermon, and this is a warning about faith. And because we are rushed, because I am rushed, when I used to read this scripture, there's a condemnation that started speaking to me. And my default mode is that I immediately want to do something. Ek wil iets doen sodat God my ken. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, the context of this, funny, ek moet net soos ek die scriptures lees, deur dit gaan, is Matthew 7 verse 15 says, beware of false prophets. So, paar verse terug sê Jesus dit. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Right? Jesus said in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is saying is that people who say, no, just the words, ja, ek dien vir Jesus, ek volg vir Jesus. Selfs, ja, ek glo in Jesus. Jesus said, that's not, they're not going to necessarily make it. They're not going to make it. He says nominal Christians, Christians that is lukewarm, Christians that is living on the fringes, that is just religious, traditional Christians. He says, chances are they're not going to make it. And then he says, those that demonstrate spiritual insight or power, hulle wat kennis het, they might even not make it as well. And as I read this, I was asking myself, Jesus says, listen, people will say, I did this and I did this for you, and I will say, I never knew you. And then the next question comes to my mind, but if God is omniscient, if He is all-knowing, how can He say, He doesn't know me, He doesn't know certain people? And that's not what this means. This doesn't mean God doesn't know your heart. He knows everything. He knows every person, every single person, past, present, and future. He knows them. What this means is He does not know them relationally. They do not have a relationship with God. But even as I say that, there's a in my spirit life, there's many times there's this wound up thing that even want to take part of that. There's this spiritual thing in me that wants to wind me up and say, but what must I do then? What must I do to be known by God? What is the works that I must do to be known by God? So many times we come to church and we want to unwind, and then the word is preached at us and we even feel more wound up, even more condemned. And it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be the other way around. The rushedness of life, the rushedness of church, the rushness of even our relationships, is that we want quick fixes. We want to snap our fingers and we want this to be sorted out so that we can be relaxed. And we're looking for something to do, and I'll get to the to do just now. But Jesus says, He says, those who do the will of my Father will be known by me. And this is for me the highlight of today, John 6, verse 28 to 29. It says, they asked Him, what must we do to do the works God requires? We ask those questions ourselves. And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. Doesn't that just help you to, gaan dit nou nie reg kry nie, maar, doesn't that just help you to unwind and relax? And say, wait, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. There's something that I must do. And God says, what must we do? The people ask, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. There is nothing that we can do before we do not believe. Before we do not know God relationally and He knows us relationally. And that is what Jesus is saying in this scripture. He's saying, I do not know you, depart from me. I know your heart. And I know your heart is wicked. I know your heart is far away from me. And He's talking about the false prophets. He's talking about those who used the word and meddled with the word to make money or to to find popularity or to find charisma or something. They were in a lustful relationship with God Himself. In a sense, He was speaking to the Pharisees as well. Because the Pharisees knew about God. They were intellectuals that actually knew everything about God. And yet they were the ones that rejected Him. And then you get to the disciples, and the disciples, they were unlearned. They didn't have the knowledge of God in the same way that the Sadducees and the Pharisees had. And yet they were the ones that said, Jesus, we want to follow you. So the knowing that God is talking about here isn't the intellectual knowledge. You know, you've been in conversations like that. I was on the receiving end and the giving end of conversations like that. You want to convince people that if the knowledge level in their lives, if their educational level are better, things will change in their lives, in their relationship with God. You know, we say that. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And many people go and they read their Bible and then they attain knowledge, but not relationship. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, comes and make us alive when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and He gives us relational knowledge. How do you get to know someone? How do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. If I really want to get to know you, I have to spend time with you. If you really want to get to know one another, you have to spend time with one another. We can read about one another in a book. We can see what your life is about on Facebook and social media. That wasn't even there years ago. The challenge still remains. If you want to get to know someone, you have to spend time with them. But if you are rushed, that's one of the things that a hurried life does. It steals relationship with God, and it steals relationship with one another. You are so busy, you are so wound up, that you do not relax. And Jesus, when He says this, when He says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Jesus is not breaking relationship there. There wasn't any relationship to start off with when He said that. He says, listen, I am an intimate God. I'm a God that shepherds my people. I'm a God that brings my people close to me. I relate to you as a father to a child. There is an intimate relationship that I have with you. And God says that when we have that kind of relationship with you, there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. But you start off with believing relationship. I believe in you, Lord. I surrender my life to you, Lord. I give my life to you, Lord. I know you. You know me. I want to read a few more scriptures just to drive that point home. 1 John 3 verse 23 says, this is His command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are born again by faith in Christ Jesus. And because we are born again, we will produce good fruit. Mark 3 verse 34 to 35 says, and looking about those who sat around Him, He said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus even differentiated between His physical brothers and His mother, and the people that sat before Him who believed in Him. You remember that story? His mother and his brothers came and they sent somebody and say, hey, tell Jesus we're outside. And then He used that as a teaching opportunity. And He said, who's my mother and my brother? Brothers, you are. You're the people who believe. Because motherhood, fatherhood, brotherhood, familyhood is intimate relationship. And that's the point that he wanted to drive home. I want to know you intimately. I want to know you relationally. In Ephesians 3 verse 17, we read, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what all the saints and what is the breadth, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He's calling us into relationship. The point that I'm going towards is, if you want to unwind, you have to search out that relationship. That's what you've got to search out. Jesus knows us, even when you feel like this, even when you feel tighter than this, round up tighter than this. He knows you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. Unless you're sitting here today and you have never surrendered your life to Christ. That's why we have to do the work of the evangelist as well. To speak the good news, to send out the good news that God is the God of relationship. He's the Father that calls you in. He is not the God of dead works. He is not the God that expects of you, like all the other religions, to work yourself into heaven. He says, "My Son is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him." And believers, that's something that we can remind ourselves of today. Alida started this November sermon by saying November is the month to remember. And I asked myself, oh, so how am I going to connect this message with remembering? But there's so many things that we can remind ourselves for. And this morning I want to remind you that there has been times in your life, times in your family life, times in your marriage, that you were so tightly wound up in that moment that you thought, I'm never going to be unwound again. Because the devil lies to you in those moments. Hy sê vir jou, luister, jy gaan so stuck up wees die hele tyd, jy gaan nie uit hierdie gemors uitkom nie. But here you sit today, and there's a testimony written a few months back, a few years back, a few decades back maybe, where you were in dire straits, all wound up. Your situation were all wound up. You were financially all wound up. Ek klink so bietjie soos Bugs Bunny. All wound up. And something happened. You prayed. Somebody prayed for you. Some miracle took place and you relaxed. God intervened. God's presence changed your life. So what do I want to remind you of today? I want to remind you of the time where there was no peace. There was turmoil. You cried out to God, He intervened, and there were peace. And that same God is still the one that brings peace. And you have to remind yourself, not of the season of peace of that time, but of the peacemaker. Say, Lord, I'm hungry for peace in my life. Lord, I don't want to be wound up like this. I don't want to feel tight in my gut. I don't want to feel tight in my system. I don't want to feel tight in my mind. I don't want to feel tight in my relationships. If there's issues in relationships, God is the one that can unwind that, that can fix it again, that can bring us to a place where we can relax. And yes, we have a role to play in that. But the role is so much easier when we know that there's nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We have the mind of Christ." That intimacy that we have with God has an influence on what we think. That intimacy that we have with God has an influence on what we feel. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows that the heart of the false prophets are evil. It's removed from him. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows the confusion that's sometimes in my heart. He knows about the turmoil that is in your heart. But you are built on the foundation of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should bring you a lot of peace. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Revelation 22 verse 15, Openbaring say, "Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." I think many times the enemy comes and he comes and bamboozles us when we fall, when we sin, when we've made a mistake. And he wants to condemn you and want to say, "Listen, you're on your way to hell. God doesn't love you anymore. Look what you've done. You've messed up in your life." But what Scripture is saying, those who love and practice falsehood. We do not love and practice falsehood. We mess up. We struggle in our sanctification sometimes. But our relationship with God, our intimacy with God, cannot be severed. It cannot be broken because God is the covenant holder. He is the one that keeps that covenant intact. It cannot be broken because of what he has done for us. For us who are in Christ Jesus, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, we produce love, joy, and listen to this. Listen. To the atmosphere that these words create in your life. Listen to the calm. Listen to the unwinding. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I can probably even say it hard. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It still sounds amazing. It's still like, I want that. I should probably say it better. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now listen to the opposite, the works of the flesh. And I can say that as soft and as tempting as what can be. This is the stuff that winds you up. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The one brings peace. The one brings life. The Spirit of God, when we are in Christ, when we are intimate with Christ, there's an unwinding in that. The works of the flesh, the part of us that are tempted, the part of us that wants things now. And that's one of the other things of a life that is hurried. A life that is hurried tips to the side of the enemy. The enemy tells you, you should have that now. And he set up the world in such a way that you can have everything now. These days is even quicker. You go to take a lot, type it in, a few days later, here it is. God is never hurried. Many times we sin because we are hurried. We don't relax in God's presence. We don't hear the warnings that he gives us. We just go for it. There's a temptation and there's an action. There's an impulse and there's an action. And when we are hurried, we quickly go for it. God is never hurried. The world system has been created to wind us up, to catch us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work hard. That is a virtue. Hard work is a virtue. I'm talking about the times where hard work becomes our identity. When it becomes the meaning where we find ourselves in. It becomes what we live for. It becomes our whole purpose. And then we get all wound up. And we don't understand why. We don't understand why. And I really believe God is calling us to unwind. God is never in a hurry. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God knows what you need and when you need it. 1 Corinthians 13 starts with, "Love is patient." Love is patient. Okay? So maybe we need less of the rabbit, more of the sloth in our lives. Maybe not as slothy, but you hear what I'm trying to say this morning. 2 Corinthians, I just want to get through all my next two scriptures and then we're almost done. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 14 says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." John 3 verse 19, "And in this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." God shone His light on us. We accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. He shone His light in our lives, and now we have discernment. Now we have wisdom to see that. Galatians 2 verse 16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." John 6, 29. Remember that one. The work of God is this: to believe in the one He has sent. That's so powerful to me. I just want to highlight this. If our lives are hurried, our relationship with God suffers. We can either follow the popularity lane, where we want to be more than everyone else. We want to follow the productivity lane, where we want to do more than everyone else. Or we want to follow the prosperity lane, where we have more than everyone else. And when I think about Hollywood, all of those are in there. The popularity lane, the productivity lane, and the prosperity lane. And that is the whip that chases you. You want to be popular, you want to be productive, and you want to prosper. And none of those things are, in a sense, wrong, unless it becomes your idol, and unless it becomes the thing that drives you. If you find yourself today in a place where you compare yourself with other people, or you're very competitive, you're in a dangerous place. Because those things drive you. It drives you. It winds you up. And I really believe God is saying, here at the end of the year, I want you to relax. Even if your life is hectically busy, there's a way for you to relax within that. There's a way for you to be able to say to yourself every day, "Lord, I want to thank you for the relationship that I have with you. Here, Jesus is baie, baie besig vandag. The demands that people place on me is hectic. But I want to thank you that you are not demanding things from me. You're giving things to me. You're a loving God." And this morning, I want you to throw off that yoke of religion that also demands from you. God is not the God that demands. He's the God that guides. He's the God that leads. He's the God that will pick you up if you fall. And you will produce the fruit of the Spirit as you pursue the one that gives the fruit. Can we stand this morning?